Holy Spirit. I don't want to go a day without His presence. David said, "Cast me not away from Your presence, O Lord, and take not Thine Holy Spirit from me." Hallelujah. How many of you can say, even in those times of your life when it seemed like you were on the run or it seemed like you have kind of distanced yourself from the Lord, He never distanced Himself from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thankful that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have that promise today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. His presence are healing. His presence are cleansing. His presence are comforting to us. Hallelujah. And I've told you before, I don't really know how to live any other way except in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't really know how to live any other way except for the ability to call on Him. And when we call on Him, He's near. Amen. And you know, and I think sometimes we, you know, Sister Wilda started out talking about it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells and resides in us. Amen. And so inside of every one of us, there is a power, there is a force to be reckoned with. There is an anointing, a presence of God that, you know, even if we're not in connection with each other, when we cry out to Him, He hears our prayers. Amen. You have the same power inside of you that I have inside of me. Aren't you glad this morning there is no little Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. The power of God inside you is not any less than it is inside of me or inside of somebody else, but the power and the gifting of God is inside of you. And can I tell you this morning, the Holy Ghost is not any smaller inside these children that were up here this morning than it is inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. They have the power and the gifting of God inside of them. It blesses my heart to see the draw and the feeling of the draw of the presence of the Holy Spirit, amen, that draws them. Hallelujah. You know, and I think they sense that there's a difference between just entertainment and fun and the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's okay with me if they think it's just fun and entertainment. Because how many know, if you'll come as a little child, if we would all come with the same expectation and excitement that's inside their heart and come and really with reckless abandon just break open our shell and pour out our praise on Him, who knows what would happen in this place. Amen. If we really just come with a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of praise, and I've come to just have fun this morning, I come to enjoy myself, I come to feel His presence, I come not with any hidden agenda, hallelujah, but come to be in the presence of the Lord, hallelujah. And so it's precious to me when I see that because it moves me, it stirs something inside of me. Hallelujah. When I see somebody else feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost or feeling His Spirit moving in the house, it moves something in me. Yes. Amen. How many know when other people are moved, I'm moved. Yes. Hallelujah. And so that's why we're better together. Yes. Amen. We're better together. And as a team and as a, for lack of a better word, a team or a body ministry. How many know we flow together, we move together, we operate together? Hallelujah. When one suffers, we all suffer. When we can minister to the needs of those who are hurting amongst us with a phone call, a letter, a pot of soup, whatever it is. How many know there's something comforting about just knowing somebody else hears your sickness. Somebody else cares about you. Somebody else is praying for you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's comforting. It's good to know. And you know, the Lord has really challenged us in the beginning of the year. He's challenged me and I'm challenging you with it. The Lord has challenged me with a scripture. We're going to go there again today out of Matthew chapter 2 and jump off in a little bit different direction. But how many know when the wise men in the scriptures saw the star, saw the pattern of the king, the star of the king in the heavens, they went to great distances to find Him. And when they found Him, there was a response to Him. And the Lord has really challenged me in that you know, we say the cliche phrase, wise men still seek Him. You've heard that, amen? But how powerful that is, that wise men really seek after the ways of the Lord, seek after what the king has come to earth to do. How many know they went great distances to get to the place where the young child was? It's what the scripture tells us. And so because of probably our Christmas cards over the years and We Three Kings songs and some of those kind of things, we get a mindset and we start thinking, well, there was probably three kings that rode across town on a camel, and they came and each one had a little container of something, and they presented a gift to this little baby that they had heard about. But how many know probably what happened is there was a great caravan of wise men who had astrologers who understood the heavens, who understood that God, before he had ever hung the stars, mapped it out so that everything was hung in place, and so that before the lamb, before the foundation of the world, the scripture says the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Can somebody say it's not plan B? We're still on plan A. God knows what he's doing, has always known what he's doing, and he's always had it written in the heavens for us to understand. Now, I'm not talking about just reading the natural stars, but I believe the natural stars declare. From the signs of the zodiac, and I'm not one to read your fortune. If you want to know what's going to happen in your future, read the word. How many know there's a prophetic word in there that'll tell you day by day, daily living steps, that'll tell you how to live? You don't have to go to somebody who reads your palm or an astrologer or something like that. But I do believe the pattern was written out in the heavens. And when Pastor Roger Legg was here, he shared with you some of the things, the signs of the zodiac, and Lynn has shared some of those things here. I mean, no, those patterns were written out in the heavens. Hallelujah. How many know God is looking for people who are looking to the heavens for what God wants to do instead of looking at what's happening in the earth? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's easy to look around and read and watch the news and see the newspaper and hear all. I believe it was Ann Murray wrote a song, said, sure could use a little good news today. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the other side of town. You remember that song? Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down, you know. Sure could use some little. How many know media feeds off of bad news? They feed off of things that stir your emotions and either stir you to a political sense or stir you to a sense of fear or stir you financially. But how many know if we would start reading what the word says? Hallelujah. You find out that at the book of from the beginning to the end, Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King over all. Isaiah prophesied that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. I still believe that. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied it way before he ever seen it come to pass. Hallelujah. So these kings came from a great distance to come find him who was born King of the Jews. Hallelujah. And so probably what happened, they came with great caravans of wagons, and not wagons like West wagons, but camels and laden down with things. And when they come, the scripture says, and when they came, they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts in the likeness of golds and frankincenses and myrrh and incense, and all of those offerings would have been of great value and great lavishness would have been. It's not your typical baby shower gift. Amen. There were no Pampers, no wet wipes, no baby swings. This was not a baby shower. This was honoring him who was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And so they came with a mentality that I hear that the king is in town. I hear that the king is a man, is among us. Do you know that his name is called Emmanuel? God with us. Hallelujah. God became man and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And so when they heard that the baby had been born and he was in Bethlehem of Judea, they packed up their gifts and their treasures, and they came with a mentality, listen to this, to give to him. They didn't come with buckets full saying, we've come for what you can pour out to us and what you can give to us and what we can receive to you. We come to pour out to you today. And so the Lord has challenged me in my thinking in the last couple of weeks that I'm not just coming to receive from him, because every time I come to his house, I receive from him. I receive refreshment. I receive refilling. But he has challenged us in this house to not just come to receive, but come with a heart of giving in a lot of different ways. And we've talked about the last couple of weeks, wise men bring gifts. Hallelujah. How many know we're always looking for God to bestow his gifts upon us? How many are thankful for the gifts of God that he's bestowed upon you? And anybody in this house say, God has blessed me over and over and over again. Thank God for his giftings. But what a mentality it is to say those giftings weren't just for my own use. Those giftings were to be poured back out on somebody else, because I believe when you give, it'll be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. That good measure, pressed down, shaken together concept comes from, let me see, this is Super Bowl Sunday. Anybody in here buy any potato chips lately, or a bag of Doritos, or a cup? Are you going to admit it? You ate some potato chips. How many know when you get that bag of potato chips, it's half full? Right? It's clear full of air. You got to be... Yeah, if you just stick with just that air, you won't get fat, but you get the rest of that. But how many know what happens is they'll tell you they put those potato chips in that bag, and that bag is full. And they blow it up with air and seal it so that in transport and shipping it to make sure it gets to your house without those chips being broken, and that in that process it settles. And so by the time you get it, all those chips have settled down, and you get about a half a bag of potato chips. You open that up, and you got about a half a bag of potato chips. I think about the story of my dad that time putting the money in the machine. You know those machines you put the money in, and the cup drops down, and then the coffee. You ever seen a few of those older people in here? You've seen those kind of machines, right? Thank you. Somebody has seen those machines. You put it in, and the cup drops down, and then that coffee runs down in that cup, right? Well, my dad put his money in that machine, and that cup dropped down, and he looked at it, and he said, well, that thing's empty, and picked it up, and when he did, the coffee run down in the bottom. He said, what a jip. All that, there's nothing in that cup. Well, when he picked it up, all the coffee ran down the thing, and he got, you know, by the time he figured out the program, he'd done missed two-thirds a cup of coffee. He said, what a ripoff. So, and nobody laughed at him about that, did they? And so what happens in transit in that box of Cheerios or that bag of chips is it has gotten shaken down and has settled, and so that it's really only about halfway full when you get it. But under the custom of that day, if you got something that was of a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that meant it poured into you, you shook it down, and you let it settle. And then you poured in some more, and you shook it down, and you let it settle. And you poured in some more, and then you pressed it down to the point that it was running over, so you didn't get cheated. If you came with a bag for a bucket, you got what you came for. Can I tell you that God's promises said, if you'll give, I'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I pour it into your bosom. Now, I don't know how you can go wrong with this concept, but I'm going to tell you, God will not be indebted to any person. So that if you will sow into good ground, if you'll sow into good seed, if you'll come with a mentality like the wise men said, I didn't come here to ask you for anything, but I come to sow into this ministry. I come to sow into this king, because great things are about to happen in the earth, and I want a part of it. I want to be a part of what God's about to do right here, Emmanuel, God with us. So I'm going to pour into that, because when I pour into him, whether I want it or not, he gives back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Maybe sometimes you just need a good little shaking. Hallelujah. Because he will pour into your bosom. And so God has been challenging us in this house in our giving. Wise men bring gifts. Hallelujah. Not just tithings, but offerings. As we give in to what God is doing in this house, in this day, in this community, in this hour, God wants to pour back into word of deliverance into your bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many believe we have the ability out of word of deliverance to reach our community? How many believe we have the ability in this house to double the size of this congregation? How many believe we have the ability in this house to reach the younger generation and the kids in our community? How many believe we have the power in this house to touch drug addicts and see them turned around? How many believe in this house we have the ability to meet the needs of the heroin addiction that's happened in our community? How many believe we have the ability in this house to change and touch the nations of the earth? Hallelujah. If you believe that this morning, you will give out of your bosom. You will sow into that. And as you do, how many know I want those blessings? And let me just say to this to you. I'm not pulling for finances this morning. Monty will tell you he knows more about the finances of this house than I do. I don't know what all everybody else's business, in case you didn't know, in this house. But I'm going to tell you what. I have seen the righteousness and the faithfulness of God in my house. In my house, amen, that I have, he said as a Malachi, he said, you go ahead, try me, prove me, test me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. Now, can I just say that's an investment system you want to be a part of? You know what I said before? Everybody says, well, that's old order, that's old covenant, you know, they were under a curse. Well, under the New Testament, they sold everything and had all things in common. So if you really want to take it down to the nitty-gritty, hallelujah. But how many know the principle of sowing and reaping and things like that is still in effect? Only a foolish man goes out and looks at his garden patch in the spring and says, man, I hope corn grows there. And he goes out about June and says, man, I'm still waiting on corn to grow there. And by September, no corn grew there. And the neighbor says, well, John, did you plant any corn seed in that patch? Well, no, I just thought it was going to grow because I wished it would grow. I mean, no, it seems foolish to take a piece of corn or grain and put it in the ground and cover it up with dirt and walk away from it and expect something to happen. But how many know as you put it in there and then the rains come and the sun shines, and as the elements begin to cause, you know, Jesus gave us a symbol of that. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. See, he gave us that concept that I can take one kernel of corn, put it in the ground. When it sprouts, I get many, many kernels of corn. Hallelujah. So how many know that's a concept that works in the kingdom of God? When we have the ability to sow seed into what God is doing, we sow seed, we invest. I look at it as an investment in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because I want there always to be a place like this that we can come. For my children, your children, for the nations of the earth to come and find the message of the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power to change lives, a safe place for people to come. I believe in it that much that I will sow into it, invest into it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so wise men bring gifts. How many know it's not just about our own financial gifts? It's about our abilities and our talents and those things that God have blessed us with also.
The scripture says that God who causes the rain to fall gives seed to the sower, that he can supply all grace. But the grace side of it is that God gives seed to the sower. What you do with the seed is up to you. God can, in other words, grace is on everybody. God's favor is on everybody. What you do to access that grace is faith accesses grace. We access this grace by faith. So it's already done in the done deal of heaven, but it's accessing it. It's just like you said, he gives the grace side of it is he gives seed to the sower. If you eat the seed, then you're not going to have a harvest that comes in. And what happens most of the time is people will eat the seed rather than plant seed. Seed brings more in to come.
Hallelujah. Seed, planting seed. Amen. And so we sow into that. We have a great opportunity to do that. Hallelujah. So wise men bring gifts. So he's changed my thinking to challenge me not just to give him my tenth, but give to stretch myself. Okay? And I'll say that's my own personal challenge. Hallelujah, because I know how the kingdom works. But wise men bring gifts. And I want to talk a little bit more even on that line, not so much about finance, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 2, if you want to bring that up. And there were several things that these wise men did. Wise men bring gifts. Wise men seek him. Wise men returned another way after their encounter. Wise men emptied their treasures. Another translation says they emptied their luggage. Hallelujah. Wise men follow patterns in the heavens. Do you know that it's quite possible that the gifts that the wise men brought to the young child probably was sufficient not only to take them out of the place they were to flee from Herod, but also to live in Egypt while they were there, return, and probably financed his ministry while he walked on this earth. Amen? I mean, no, Judas carried a pouch with him.
I just wanted to say also that when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, she brought him a $52,800,000 offering just in gold in that economy. That's not counting the animals she brought or the spices or any of the materials. In that economy, she brought him a $52,800,000 offering. So if a king came to honor a king that was greater than they were, they didn't come with a knapsack or, you know, we think in terms of a little bag because we have three people in the play on Christmas that have a towel on their head and a bathrobe, and they're going to play their drum for him, rump-a-pum-pum, you know. And we present this poverty mentality. But really the truth of it is they were coming to honor a king whom they had seen in the heavens was coming, that was a promised king, a promised seed that would come. And so they had to bring him. It wasn't a tip, let's just put it that way. I mean, Solomon built, when he got done, he built a temple that had enough gold in it that it was even the mortar in between the rocks was running with gold, to when they destroyed it in 70 AD, they pried the rocks apart to get the gold out of it. It was that much gold in it. So.
It had been 400 years since anybody had heard the word of God. And these men knew the prophecies that had been given. They knew what to look for. And can you imagine the excitement when they said, there it is. There's that star. It's time for us to arise and go and see this king. The moment has come. And, you know, the Bible said in the last days, there's not a famine for the word of God, but for the hearing of the word. You know, you have to hear this in your spirit. You have to hear what God's saying and then receive what God has for you. You know, we can read it and we can say, well, I believe it. But when we get desperate for it, I think when we get desperate enough to seek him, we'll find him. You know, he won't turn us away. There's nobody that goes after God, seeks after God, that God refuses. No one. And I think that's amazing. But I think that there was a desperation, that there'd been silence from God, that nobody had heard from God in all those years. And then all of a sudden, there he was.
You know, sometimes you got to get up out of the place where you are.
Yes.
And go to the place where he is. Now, he is everywhere. And how many know what they had to do was follow a star? How many know that star will lead you out of some things, away from some things, but it will also lead you to some things? Hallelujah. It'll lead you in a direction that will take you to the presence of the King. Hallelujah. And in that atmosphere and in that presence, how many know they invested in a system that you and I today are still reaping the benefits of? Some wise men who went seeking him who was born King of the Jews. And when they found him, they withheld nothing from him, but poured out of their treasures, hallelujah, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we know that also, that the gold and the frankincense and myrrh speaks of the gold, speaking of his deity and him who was born king. And the frankincense speaks of him as priest and praise and prayer and incense offered up to God. And the... Myrrh speaks of, oh, there's so many incredible things we found out about myrrh, even in Bible study, of the properties, the healing properties of myrrh. But it was also a type used for embalming fluid, signifying he was also Savior and that he would come and die on the cross and give his life that we might have eternal light. How many know some of these were used to light the candles or the oil lamps that gave off a white light? He was born, he was the light of the world. And all of those things are significant in that also. And what they came to give to him. Hallelujah. But how many know they came to give to him and they opened their treasures and they poured out what they had. And it said they worshiped him. And then once they had worshiped him, they heard the voice that said, don't go back the same way you came. How many know when you come into the presence of the King, it challenges you not to go back the same way that you came, but to return another way. Go another way. Wise men return another way. How many can say when you came in contact with the presence of God in your life, you turned and went another way? You weren't the same old person that you used to be. You didn't have to go back to the things that you used to do because there was nothing back there, but you turned and went another way because God was drawing you in another direction. How many are thankful for the star? How many are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs you into all truth? It's the greatest GPS system you'll ever have. Hallelujah. The only way it'll mess you up is if you turn it off or unplug it. You know, I told you before one time we were traveling with a GPS and it was taking us all kinds of crazy directions. Dan finally said, unplug that thing and put it in the back seat. Because there is no turn left. You know, we're on the turnpike and it's concrete the whole way. There is no turn left, okay? So my GPS was messed up. It needed to recalculate. You know, but how many have ever had to recalculate in your journey? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I've had to recalculate sometimes. I get off on a journey I think maybe was of my own thinking, and I had to recalculate a little bit and come back to where God would have me to be. Hallelujah. So they returned another way. I want to go, I told her to go to Matthew, but I'm gonna skip that and go on to Matthew 7. Can you do that for me, Steph? Go ahead to Matthew 7. I want to talk this morning about wise men seek him. Wise men seek him. How many can say the best thing you ever did was when you sought after the Lord and found him? Not that he was lost, but that you had not found him. Amen? I was lost and am found, was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah. I want to talk about a wise man and a foolish man today. And the title of my sermon, Wise Men Seek Him. This is part of a series we're doing. Wise men bring gifts, wise men seek him. So all that other stuff was free today to get me to the point of where I needed to get started. Hallelujah. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, Pastor Shirley just set me up for this, talking about hearing. She said, in the last days, there's a famine, not for the word, but for the hearing of the word, or the hearing of truth of the word. Hallelujah. I told you a couple Sundays ago that we're being set up. How many know it's a setup? God is setting you up for blessings if you'll let him. If you understand these concepts and you'll let him move and speak to you, he's setting you up for good things. Amen? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This scripture today talks about wise men and foolish men. Now, I understand I'm talking about the ladies too, but we'll just group us all together, one big package. But back over in verse 7 of the same chapter, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask for fish, will he give him a serpent? And if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" I preached a whole nother series on the bread, the fish, and the stone that's on the podcast. So if you want to go back, I'm not going to get to that this morning. But how many know the scripture says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened to you." It says, "A wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand." Hallelujah. I mean, no, there is a different way of building in areas where there's sand than there is where there is a rock bed. Amen. If you go to the beach, you're going to find their houses are way up in the air and on around the beach area because of the tides that come in, because the sand shifts and all of those kind of things. How many know he likens this? He says, "A wise man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them." How many know there's a difference in hearing and doing? You ever say to your children, "Do you hear me?" Oh, yeah, they hear you. But did you react? Did you respond to what you heard? How many know there's a responding to what you're hearing? What you're hearing in your ear, what you're hearing by the Spirit, what you're hearing by the Word. And he said, "A wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the floods came, when the rains came, when the winds came and beat upon that house, his house was on a firm foundation." Amen. Are we have any homeowners in here today? Hallelujah. I trust that your house is built upon a rock or a firm foundation. Hallelujah. How many know there's security in knowing that from the bottom up, things are secure? And I want to talk to you just about some real basic things this morning, because how many know our foundational truths are what we build the rest of our relationship on in Jesus Christ? How many believe in this house you need to be born again? You need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. How many believe in water baptism? How many believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Hallelujah. How many believe in some of the foundational truths like we were talking about, tithing and offerings and giftings and all of those kinds? How many know those are foundational things? Those are some things that if you learn from the very beginning, that you build the rest of your house on that, and is a sure, solid foundation, is a sure, solid house. Hallelujah. And so I said to you, I'm thankful for the teaching that I had as a young child that taught me those foundational things, the power of prayer, the importance of reading the Word, the importance of knowing what the Word says for myself. I mean, you know, it's one thing for you to stand up and hear what I say, and I have no intention of ever misleading you or leading you astray, but how many know I do have the capability at times to mistranslate? Amen? I know. Right? But if you are skilled in the Word and you know your scriptures, how many know the Holy Spirit inside of you and the Word that you know will quicken to your mind, and you'll say, "But the Word says, what about this?" And just because maybe you don't understand it or comprehend it at the time doesn't make it wrong, but you can go back to the Word and check it out and say, "I'm not sure where that is. I got to check that out." And I challenge you to do that. Amen. But how many know we need to know the Word? If there was anything that my dad ever established this house on, and his believing was read the Word, know the Word for yourself. Amen. That he was a man that read his Bible, that knew the Word. Now, rather, he always had the ability to communicate it and speak it and explain it like he wanted to. Maybe not always, but he knew what the Word said. Amen? And it was so much a part of him. And so we were trained that way. We had devotions in our house when we were kids and things like that. And, you know, I was being a little nostalgic, I guess, the other day, and I was thinking about some things even in this house. And we've been here, I guess, about 35 years coming up this June, I believe, that this Word of Deliverance has been here. Seems like that. But how many know, in all the years that we've done this, this house was not built on the back of those who had lots of finances. It was built on the backs of those who just had a heart to give. I think about people like my grandmother Ethel that would have went without before she would have withheld her tithes. And then when we would go and pick her up for church, she would give Dan and I a dollar to pay for the gas because she was not going to be indebted. She was of that culture that I don't expect you to give me anything. I want to pay my own way. Thank God for a mentality that says I want to pay my own way, and I would not think of withholding from the house. I think of men and women like Brother and Sister Eccles, that very limited funding, that would drive from Hagerstown every Sunday to be here and would weep and cry through the whole service, and he would shake my hand at the end and he would try to tell me something and he'd shake his head and just walk out the door because the presence of the Holy Ghost was on him, and he gave his life to ministry and missions and jail services and taught me how to minister in a jail cell at the age of 12 and 13 and 14 years old. You want to know where I learned how to preach? I preached on radio broadcasters in jail cells from people who believed had the heart of God. People like Miss Nellie and people like that. People like Tommy Hiles that would rather come and carry block and help set petitions than stay at home and do something else because he believed in what we did here and he loved the fellowship of the people. Those are the kind of things that I think about. That's the mentality that builds a house. That really didn't necessarily do it to get anything from themselves, but they so believed in it and so believed God, so loved God, and gave out of that heart of rejoicing and giving. How many know there are some very foundational things that we need to know? Your house has to be established on a solid rock, and that solid rock is Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. He is the foundation that we build everything on in our life. I mean, when we try to build a life without Jesus being the foundation or the beginning or the source of everything that we do, we build a house on shaky ground. Amen? We build a house on shaky ground because what happens is storms and winds and rains come to both houses. Just because your house is built on a foundation doesn't mean the storms and the winds won't come your way. How many know the scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust? Now, we use that, you know, as saying, well, you know, it rains on the just and God will, you know, a sickness comes or whatever. But how many know, I want to look at it this way. Thank God it rains on us when we're just, and thank God it rains on us when we're unjust. How many know we need rain to survive? We need the rain of God in our life. So thank God it rains on us when we're just and when we're unjust. Now, how many know rains come, storms come to both houses? Is there anybody in this house this morning that can say, I've never weathered a storm? Okay, just wanted to clarify that before we get going. How many know storms come? I don't care how righteous you think you are and how much faith you think you got. How many know sometimes the way you build your faith or your faith muscles is because you exercise them? Hallelujah. And so we have to have a firm foundation, the solid rock, Jesus Christ as our life, that everything that we build on, builds on his purpose in our life, his direction in our life, his blessings in our life, and we build from there. Amen? Now, I've told you this story before, that back years ago, Dan and I went to look at a house and a lot in town to possibly buy. And when I get to this house, it's so run down. The tree is growing up through the front porch. And you go through the front door, and it said, dead bodies in the basement. And I came back out. I said, I don't think I'm interested in this house. And I don't want to go to the basement. But my husband saw it differently than I did. He sees it with the eye of a builder. And he's like, no, I worked on worse than this. I'm like, well, I don't care. I never lived in them, so I'm, you know. And so he's like, no, you got to listen to me. The foundation is solid. And the roof was in pretty good shape. He said, what you're looking at is what people have come along later and built onto it and did not build it right or build it with a foundation. That part, yes, is fallen down. But what has been built on a foundation is still sure and still strong and still salvageable. And as for the dead bodies in the basement, it was a dead cat skeleton. It was a dead cat skeleton. Okay, well, I can deal with that, okay? So anyway, with the eye of the builder, he was able to tear away what was not sure, what was not strong, and was not built correctly, and replace that back with something that was solid and sure and plumb and in line. How many know there's sometimes in our life that God's got to take away some things that were not built there correctly, that were not meant to be attached to you? How many know the value of that house was decreased because of what was attached to it? And when you look with the natural eye, you thought it's not salvageable. But aren't you glad this morning that God does not look with the natural eye, that when he sees those things that seems as if they've fallen down or have been broken in your life? I'm here to tell you this morning, if you've got things in your life that seem as if they're broken, I know a master builder that is able to remove what seems like it's weak and build on those things that are strong. And can I tell you, there are people living in that house today, and it will not fall down, and it will not be blown away, because it's built on a foundation that is sure and strong, hallelujah, and will withstand against storms and winds and shakings. When my kids were little, we'd growing up, and we'd have one of those storms when it sounded like, my house is tall, so it would sound like the, you know, the wind was going to blow you away. They'd say, we're not scared. Daddy built this house. And they used to tell me that, we're not scared. Daddy built this house. How many know there's comfort in knowing I'm not afraid of the storms, I'm not afraid of the winds, because I know that Daddy built this house and he's got my good interest at heart. Daddy built it from the foundation up, and the foundation is sure. Jesus is my solid rock on which I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. You can trust a foundation that is sure and solid and strong. And as we build our life, we build our relationship, we build our Christian walk on that solid foundation. How many know from there up? Lynn knows when I'm talking about different builders in the house. How many know if you get that cornerstone right and you get that for those corners established and plumb and straight, everything else in the rest of that house is going to go off of those corners and those plumb lines, and it's going to be straight because you started out right. Amen. Hallelujah. So a wise man builds his house on the rock, who is Christ Jesus. Those are foundational things. Hallelujah. From very early in your life, if you'll build your house, if you'll build your relationships, your marriages, your children, your finances, if they are all come into order with God's foundational truths of teaching and understanding, I will guarantee you that God will bring things in order in your life. And you'll find out that it'll be a strength and it'll be strong. It's not weak, so that when the winds hit us, we fall apart or are washed away. I mean, you know, there's been times in my life where I've had to weather some pretty strong winds. Some waves seem pretty high. Hallelujah. Some storms seem more than I thought that I could bear at times. Hallelujah. But it's just as the disciples that learned when Jesus was in the boat with them in the midst of the storm. They stood up in the midst of the storm and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Anybody in here besides me, you might not have said it out loud, but there's been times in my life said, Lord, do you know I'm down here? Master, don't you care that I perish? And Jesus, maybe without words, probably said to them, you can question my theology. You can question my doctrine. You can question my methods. You can question my sailing ability and my fishing stories. But don't ever question that I care. Don't ever question that I care. Hallelujah. What we need to know is, if Jesus is asleep and at rest in the midst of the storm, you can be at rest with him. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can be at rest in the midst of a storm because you know Jesus is on board. Amen. Because you know he is the foundational, solid part of when everything else is shaky and rocky. How many know he's solid and strong and sure? Hallelujah. But he said there was a wise man who built his house on the sand. And when the winds came and the storms blew, that house, we say the house on the sand went splat. The children sing. The house on the hand. I mean, no, it's that's what, when we don't have a solid foundation, nothing to go back to that's strong in our life, we find ourselves being swept away by crisis and struggles. Hallelujah. I rejoice when I hear people say they've been married 47 years. Hallelujah. How many know something, everything may not have been right, but something was right in that marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. A commitment to stay, even in the midst of the storms. I'm sure they can tell you, yeah, we weathered some storms. Yeah, we've had some crisis. Yeah, sometimes our boat seemed like it was going over or going under. But thank God for a solid rock that we can stand on that says, Jesus is my strength. He is my cornerstone. He is my solid rock. Then in times of struggles and crisis, I know he's got me. But the man who built his house on the sand, he said, the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Hallelujah. How many know he says to them, those who hear my words and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man. And those who heareth my words and don't do them, I will liken unto a foolish man. Hallelujah. How many know there is a response to the word of God in our life? There is a response to his call. It's not enough to know about him or know him, but we've got to respond. The scripture says that Nicodemus came to Jesus and was questioning him. And Jesus says to him, "If you've got to be born again." And Nicodemus, in all his training, he was a ruler in the Pharisees and the synagogue. He said, how can a man enter back into his mother's womb? And Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you should know this. How many know you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit? And he begins to speak those things to Nicodemus. How many know Nicodemus came by night because it wasn't popular to hang out with the Jesus crowd? It wasn't popular to hang out with those. So Nick at night comes to Jesus, and he begins to question him. And in John chapter 3, we get to the scriptures. Jesus goes on to tell him about, he said, for God so loved. Nick, I just need to tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him. Nick, whosoever, not just the scribes, the Pharisees, not just the lawyers, not even just the Jews, but whosoever would believe on him could have everlasting life. Because here's a newsflash, Nick. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if what you're hearing is all condemnation and condemning and putting heavy burdens on you, it's not the message that God sent or Jesus came to say. He said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world or to pronounce doom on the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. We don't necessarily even have it where anything in that portion of scripture where Nicodemus responds to the message of salvation. It doesn't say Nicodemus says, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to get saved. But he begins to think, his thinking is challenged another way, and he begins to think differently. But here's what I do know. When Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries out, it is finished. It is Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea says, I want that body. I want that body. Hallelujah. And how many know they were the ones that came, risk everything that they have when his own people had just crucified him. Nick said, you know what? I want that body. And they wrapped him and anointed his body and placed him in the tomb. Something Jesus said even got to the religious folk of the day. And somebody knew there was something more than just quoting the scriptures or going through the procedures or going through all the traditions of men. How many know if you can know every scripture in the Bible, you can come every Sunday. But if you don't ever have an encounter with a man called Jesus Christ, you've missed the greatest opportunity in your life. It's not enough just to know about him. You got to know him. Hallelujah. I thought, as somebody had told me their testimony this week, that, you know, that had shared about living in another country and another culture and growing up Christian in that culture. And because she said in the midst of that, we grew up in a culture that was not Christian, but we were Christian. And because of that, she said, the government came in, took all of my mom's jewelry, took all of my mom collected jewelry, my dad collected watches, my dad played the piano and sang songs about Jesus on the piano. He said, but because we were bad people, because we believed in Jesus, they came and took everything that we have. We are so honored to live in a place that we have the opportunity to hear his word, to do it and respond. And you know, if that was meant to keep them from Christianity, her brother went on to Germany and then came to the States, got his PhD and doctrinal degree in the message of the gospel, and she came here also. And how many know they have the freedom to serve Jesus in the way that they want to? We have a greatest opportunity. And so many times we take it for granted what we have the ability to do. A wise man hears these words. See, you don't risk your life. You don't risk everything you have for a message. You risk it for a relationship. It said, you know what? I can't do it any other way. I can't go back. I've done experienced him. And I can't go back to any other way. It's not enough just to have a message or a doctrine or a theology. You need that personal encounter, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so as we respond to those things, he said, it's not just enough to hear them, but to do those things. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and I'll finish with this. The other scripture I was going to go to is out of Nehemiah 4. And it talks about when they got ready to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and everything that had been torn down. How many know the scripture says the people had a mind to work? And they strengthened themselves. In other words, they encouraged themselves in the work that they were going to do. And so then they placed themselves on the wall and they placed families together. And families worked together. And while one worked, another watched their back. And they had a mind to build what they needed to build. How many know you are a force to be reckoned with when you can get everybody into agreement and come with a mind to work and are strengthened in the vision? How many know they bought into the vision and then they poured themselves into that vision? Hallelujah. We are stronger together. Amen. We are stronger together. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation, a wise man, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself. What's the foundation? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. How many know the chief cornerstone is what you build everything else off of? Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. How many know the house that he's building is not only just our own personal relationship, but it is the house of God, and not just this house of Word of Deliverance, but the house of God, not only in this nation, but in all the nations of the earth that are established on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In closing, Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet. Do you really want to know what everybody's saying about you? Do you really want to know who they say you are? And Jesus looks at Peter personally. He said, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you, Peter? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, without missing a beat, says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And he says to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. But you got a revelation of my Father, which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Petro means rock. Petra means little rock. Peter's name literally means rock or little rock. But how many know he's not saying, Peter, I'm going to build my church on your name. What he's saying is, I'm going to build my church on a revelation and an understanding of thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when I build my church on this rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I got good news for you. The gates of hell do not prevail. Because he is the rock on what everything is built on. So when everybody wants to have an escapist, chosen few mentality that are going to make it, I'm going to tell you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What he's saying is, Peter, who am I to you? You must have an understanding and a revelation of who he is in your life and an encounter, a personal relationship with him. Hallelujah. Wise men seek him. Amen. Wise men will go great distances to find him. And when they find him, they'll invest in what he's doing. And once they've invested and worshiped him, they will return and go another way. Hallelujah. Because they're hearing from the heavens. Hallelujah. Do we have any wise men in here today? Hallelujah. A wise man heareth these words, these sayings of mine, and doeth them. Hallelujah. I'm challenging you in these couple weeks. I'm challenging you, your foundations. I'm challenging you in your giving. I'm challenging you in your reading and in your word. I'm challenging you in your prayer life. Amen. Hallelujah, because it's not just enough to hear it, but you must encounter him. Hallelujah. He must be real and alive in your life in a personal way. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. I believe there's some very wise people in here that's going to catch a hold of some nuggets. And when they do, they're going to put them in operation. When they put them on operation, they're going to see things good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. And we're all going to rejoice in seeing what God's doing in the midst of us. Are you ready for that? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you accept that challenge? Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Challenge us, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. Speak in your words, speak in our giftings, Father. Challenge us in our giftings and our understandings. Hallelujah. To respond to your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As they come to sing this morning, if you're in this house and you've never established that foundation, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never made that moment of encounter where you say, Lord, I surrender to you. And I place my feet upon the solid rock. I hear your words, but I'm not just going to hear them. I'm going to respond to what I've heard. Hallelujah. If you're in this house and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to come down to the altar, and we'll pray with you, or if you want to have a moment down here. Hallelujah. It's just taking that step of faith that's saying, I'm not just going to hear it, but I'm going to do it. How many know when Ruth was in Moab? She had to make a decision to get out of that place she was in. Nothing was going to change for her until she made up her mind, I'm not going to reside in Moab. I'm going to get up on out of Moab. Hallelujah. There is no book of Orpah, but there is a book of Ruth. How many know Orpah went back? End of story. But Ruth clave to Naomi, and she went to the house of Bethlehem, Judah, and a house of bread. How many know sometimes you've got to get up out of where you are and respond to the word. Hallelujah. And he'll meet you. Your kinsman redeemer meets you in the field every time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bow your heads in this house this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You've never had that encounter. We open the altars to you this morning. Is there anybody who would like us to pray with them?
He gives beauty.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Strength for fear. Gladness for mourning. Peace for despair. He gives beauty for ashes. Strength.
Be seated.